Hey kiddos, Newsy's Nook is listened to all over the world, and I want to tell you about a little shop down under. My ABDL Supplies is a Sydney-based supplier for the Australian age play community. They've got everything, from onesies and passies for nap time, to shibari rope and paddles for playtime, to automatic savings on any 4-pack of diapers. My ABDL Supplies has a great inventory for any kinky Aussie. Trusted for the last 7 years by littles and bigs all over Australia and New Zealand, My ABDL Supplies always ships discreetly. Just for Newsy Nook listeners, My ABDL Supplies is giving 5% off your next order. Just use promo code NewsyBaby. So try My ABDL Supplies, your one-stop ABDL shop. Hello, 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 and welcome to Newsy's Nook, a podcast where you can sit and relax while I try not to wet my pants. I am your host, Newsy Baby. This week in Newsy's Nook, my cautious little heart imagines what the perfect ABDL social media platform would look like. This week in Newsy's Nook, I pose the question, if you could create the perfect ABDL social media platform, what would it include? What features from other social media sites would you copy? What would you exclude? And how would people sign up? A lot of people mention the idea of filtering or tagging posts, the ability to tag the content you are posting as messy or something ABDL adjacent, so if someone you are following wasn't into it, they could filter those posts out. A similar idea was the ability to curate your posts to different followers, kind of like close friends on Instagram. So if you do post messy content, or if you even post your face, you can curate who of your followers sees that type of content. Other people mentioned the ability to see how close other ABDLs are to you, kind of like a hookup uses your location on your phone. A lot of people said this because they wanted to make it easier to find locals in the area. Another person envisioned a platform like Instagram but allows nudity and the ability to post events. And I thought this idea was both interesting and I feel like might need some modification. If a profile is inactive for more than 6 months, it automatically kind of gets filtered out, kind of like, so you only see from people who are constantly posting. I don't know. I thought that idea, I thought it was interesting, but then I also think about, like, what about profiles that, you know, their content was just so good, and I'm so sorry that they're not posting anymore, but, like, you know, it's always, like, fun to go back to. So I don't know. I thought that was an interesting idea and could probably be fleshed out to be, like, a really good tool. If you have any more ideas, I'm on Twitter or X or on Instagram. If you have an idea, post it on either of those platforms and please tag me. Also in Newsy's Nook, I am joined by Nikki, the host of the new ABDL podcast, Cautious Little Heart. We talked about why they started the podcast and why podcasts serve a purpose in our community. Well, thank you, Nikki, for coming to Newsy's Nook.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here.
So we were introduced to each other at CapCon. So before we begin, how was your CapCon experience?
It was wonderful. I don't know if I could have had a better experience if I tried. It was just so fun. It was magic.
What was one experience that you were like, wow, wasn't expecting that, but I'm so glad that happened?
Oh my gosh. You know, I kind of don't really have much expectations going in. So kind of the whole thing is a little bit like that.
Because how many CapCons have you been to?
This is my second one.
Did you feel more prepared for this one versus the last one?
100%. I knew what to expect in the terms of once I get through the doors, what's going to happen. And you know, there were a couple events that I had on my calendar, but everything was pretty freeform. You know, I did some scenes and did a lot of playing in the playroom and that stuff. But yeah, I brought a bubble gun, so maybe that was a huge hit. I had a new toy. I haven't had a new toy in like who knows how many years, and it was just a super blast. So I got to like share my new toy with everyone. So wasn't expecting that.
You bought it just for Capcom, the bubble gun?
Yes.
Oh, I bet you were like the hit at every single party that you went to.
It was part of my like outfit. It was like my carry item, and I just like shot people with giant bubble beams. It was awesome.
Okay, so that was one new thing that I feel like I need to improve for next year is I'm just that lazy ABDL that was like, here's a onesie. Okay, thanks. But some people go hard with their outfits. Did you go hard with your outfits this year?
I did, and there were at least five outfits I didn't get to wear, but that's okay. You know, I definitely don a lot of more middle sort of outfits, I guess. That's just kind of my gravitas or whatever. A little middle outfits with a short skirt and the diaper peeking, or like a see-through skirt or whatever. But I wore a very baby outfit on like the last day, and I was like, oh, this was good. I've been putting this off. I need to be perceived as baby. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with the onesies and the go-to, whatever makes you feel hot and cute, baby. All the things, like, we love that.
If you had to describe yourself, are you more ABDL, baby? How would you describe yourself? If someone didn't know who you were?
Yeah, I would describe myself as a fetishist and definitely a diaper lover. Diapers are my first love, but definitely an adult baby too. I mean, it's not by too much more than I'm a diaper lover. You know, I think I spend more time in the middle zone because, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure that out, to be honest. But I think that when I have a caregiver, they bring the baby out. I think that's something that I've learned. But I'm trying to get baby on my own more too. So we're exploring.
I love that. Yeah, it definitely takes time, right? Like, you kind of hover in like one area, right? Like I feel like I hover in like middle area, and then like as soon as like a baby comes around, I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna big bro you so hard. And then like someone else comes around, I'm like, ooh, I want you to baby me so hard.
You can almost like sense like, ooh, this would be a cool dynamic. like you're giving this and I want this dynamic, you know? It's like, I
right,
feel that.
And it's not until like you meet someone that you're like, okay, I feel this vibe now.
Once I've spent like a little bit of time in a room with someone, I'm like, you cannot dominate me. Like, you will be little brother, little sister, or something, you know? It's like, I've clocked this, you know what I mean? You can suss out that dynamic.
I will be doming you.
Yes.
Well, we were introduced to each other at Capcom because we both have ABDL podcasts. Yours is Cautious Little Heart. So I wanted to ask, how did you get started with Cautious Little Heart?
Yeah, I remember meeting you in the playroom. Someone tapped my shoulder and was like, hey, did you know Newsy's right behind you? I was like, oh, what? And they were like, can I introduce you? I'm like, absolutely. I love Newsy's podcast. And so that was like a beautiful serendipity. And then you talk to me and you're like, would you like to do a podcast? I'm like, absolutely. I love
it.
Now
we're here.
Now we're here. We're doing it. You know, I'm a fiend for podcasts. I love them. I just consume them. I've almost done podcasts in the vanilla world for this, that, or the other thing, but never did, you know? And so I really dove back into the ABDL community two-ish years ago, maybe. And I was just having such good conversations with friends. And just, I think you know what I mean. You're just like, wow, this conversation's so good. And I'm learning and you're learning and we're just sharing and we're exploring right now. It's like, there should be a microphone here. You know,
right,
like, we ought to stop this conversation because it's too good and there should be a microphone right now. That's pretty much why I started this podcast. I mean, just to share. And, you know, there are lots of amazing ABDL podcasts, yours being one of them. And we know what they are. We can name them. They're so great. And I just thought, you know, I don't know, I'll add my flavor. I'll give my little... What would it be like if Nikki did a podcast? And
right, because we all bring our different perspectives to it, right? Like, one of the reasons I started mine was I didn't hear any voices that sounded like mine, right? I didn't hear any like little diaper bros talking mm-hmm. about their experiences, talking to other like little diaper bros or little mm-hmm. diaper kiddos. And so I was like, I want my voice. And like, and I totally agree with you, right? Like every time you go to an event and you talk and you're talking to someone sharing the ABDL experience, you're like, hold up, wait a minute, we need to get a microphone here, because you learn from it, right? Like you're able to share your experience, their experience, and also just love talking to people, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's just special. It's just super special. And I know, I'm sure your podcast has like definitely brought a lot of comfort to people and insight. Insight's just invaluable, you know?
How did you get the name Cautious Little Heart?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I was driving to the beach to hang out with some baby friends. We were having a baby day. Uh-huh. And I stopped at the gas station. I was just thinking, I don't know, I was like listening to music, listening to lyrics. I think about, I'm a musician, so I like constantly am thinking about band names. And I have this list on my phone that's all band names. Okay. And so Cautious Little Heart, I don't know. There were some other amalgamations of it, like something Little Heart or something little this uh-huh. and Cautious Little Heart came into my brain. The rest of my drive to the beach, I was thinking Cautious Little Heart. I looked it up on Spotify, not taken.
You're like, just perfect, let's go.
I sat with it that day and I was like, okay, yep, I'm gonna call it this. that's where it came from. I think sometimes that's just our mind brain or whatever. It just it comes out of somewhere. So I don't know, it resonates because it's like, I think a lot of us, when I rejoined the community, I was kind of like going, I went to a munch and I approached the table like very sheepishly. I had been away from the community for like 8 years and just, oh, wow. You know, threw all my chips back into vanilla life and career, you know? So I had felt I had turned the chapter, you know, which is silly for anyone listening. Like just we're here and it's good and like be here. And of course, whatever level of involvement you're comfortable with. But yeah, I was sheepishly that cautious person. Once again, like after having been in this community, I approached the table and yeah. So I think people can maybe have a little resonation with the term cautious little heart or something.
Well, I think a lot of ABDLs can relate to that, right? The whole idea of being cautious, right? Like it's one thing to be kinky and then you add diapers to it. And then it's almost like you're cautious about who you tell about this kink about yourself, right? To other people, mm-hmm. right? It's not like, what are you into? Oh, I'm into spanking. Oh, okay. What are you into? Diapers, right? Like there's a cautiousness telling other people.
So interesting how this little bit of paraphernalia creates that in us, that like cautiousness, that it's such a taboo for like people to wrap their heads around. It's an item, you know,
right?
It's dress up, you know, it's like, it's, it blows my mind, you know?
Well, one of the things I want to ask you, because I think a lot of people can relate to it. What made you want to take a break? I feel like you always hear binge and purge. I think mm-hmm. we always hear about people taking breaks. What made you take a break and what made you want to come back?
Just being totally candid, I was very cis hetero male, okay. and was... had not discovered my journey through gender identity and mm-hmm. being non-binary. I was dating vanilla girls in monogamous relationships. My life looks very different now, you know? So for context, I spent the last 8 to 10 years in monogamous vanilla relationships and also grew up religious, you know, conservative Christian. So, you know, that's a lot of stuff to wrestle with there, you know, lots of shame. And I don't mind talking about this stuff. I'm super open book. And if anyone has had those experiences, hit me up. Like, I want to be helpful, you know. And so the last couple of years, I took just tiny steps into like discovering gender identity. And one thing leads to another, and all of a sudden I've discovered I have put off nurturing this adult baby side of myself. I indulged, you know, even in relationships and stuff on my own, I indulged in my kink and my fetish. But once I started to take a couple small steps, I realized like you are dismissing some very strong needs, what I would call needs that I have. And there's still, even though you think you come to this place where there's no more shame, you're still wrestling with some shame. And one thing led to another. And I just got back into the community. And after the first event I went to, I was like, you needed this. You needed this for years. Like you were overdue for this. These are your people. You belong. You need to be seen, and you need to see these people. And like, this is good. This is love. This is affirmation. Blew my mind. And I've been back ever since. And it was kind of a snowball. Once I got back, I was just like doing all the things. And then, started to explore my gender identity, gender expression, even sexuality. And I think just like green lighting yourself in one area, like I gave myself the go ahead, and it opened my doors in so many different directions. It's pretty crazy.
How do you do that though? How do you like, so you, right, you took a break for about 8 years, and then you mm-hmm. come back and now you've come back as non-binary. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that when you were originally in the community, that's not what you were, that wasn't what you were flagging, so to speak, right? Like that wasn't who you were beforehand. So how do you come back to a kink that you love now as a non-binary person? How do you do that?
I learned it one day at a time. I mean, I came back cis male, and like, I'm non-binary. I like both sides of me. I try to tell myself that my life is about balance, you know, and I'm just trying to nurture them. So when I came back to the community, I was male presenting. And shortly after that, I discovered my femme side totally separated from kink. And
oh really?
Yes, totally separated. I started to go to gay clubs, places that I knew would be safe for me to explore, and it was awesome. It was just like there was a gift like that I had left unwrapped my whole life that I finally opened up.
How did you bring in your femme side into your kink self, right? Like I know a couple friends that when I first met them were totally like mask presenting diaper bros, and then now I see them, and like they got their like cute little skirts on, little high socks, their little like little kitty cat ears, and I'm like, I see you exploring your femme side. So how did you do it? How did you start introducing your femme side into your kink persona?
I would say kind of like that. I mean, you know, for me, exploring gender was very fun. And I know that not everyone has that experience, and that bums me out. And I hope that people, as they get to know themselves and they get to explore these sides, and it's like nothing has to be static, nothing has to be one thing. You know, we talk about headspace a lot, you know, and I think it's great. I think that exploring your femme side, or you can still use this pronoun and still wear this item. You know, there's no rules, you know. So I think for me, honestly, I just I started to explore my femme side, and then I went to community events, and it was just like boom, there's Nikki. It was like they had no context for it. I was there, and I was like full on like femme Nikki, and then I had to like get them up to speed. So that's kind of what happened.
I think some people can relate to that. Let me ask you this, because right, sometimes when we enter the community, we enter it as this, right? Like you enter the community as what you think ABDL is. And then as you're in it, you start exploring different sides, right? Like I started exploring more of like, I wanted to really up my bro side, muscle side. You came back and started exploring your femme side. How do you juggle with, hey, I'm still the same person, I'm exploring this new side of me, and you just need to get on board and get along with it? Did you ever feel like, oh, are people gonna like think of me as a, like a whole different person, or sure. they, or like, oh, people are gonna think like, oh no, the femme side is just like a kink thing, and that when I'm not in kink, I'm still the same old Nikki. Like, did you ever have to battle that in your head?
Yeah, I think, you know, you just do your best. And I think people get up to speed as they hang out with you. I think I'll speak for myself. I really always want to be perceived like the way I really wish I want to be perceived, you know. I would love for everyone to get up to speed with like just my who I am, you know. And but I realize, you know, it just takes time. And like I had people even at CAP ask me, you know, do you dress femme only for like being a little or for being ABDL? And I was like, I answered that question with a smile. It made me so happy they asked me that, because I was like, no, actually, I totally discovered this totally separate from ABDL, and I brought it in, yada yada. And then I had a chance to like share, and it was just like, you know, everyone's gonna perceive and get to know and get to learn your story at their tempo, and that's cool. So I've just learned to accept that. So at the beginning, I was just like, yeah, you know, here I am, and then just brought some of my friends up to speed little by little.
Aw, I love that. Yeah, and it's also hard, right? When a lot of this kink is done online and you only share bits and pieces of it, it's hard for people to like perceive like, oh yeah, there's a human being behind that, like behind that picture. You know, there's a whole like journey behind that person that we might not be privy to, but like you're going through. And how cool is it that you have a podcast to like share those experiences with and have people ask you, and you're able to like help them in some way, shape, or form?
It's the best. And it's like so special, because I think sometimes when we're having conversations like this, we remember something that was so like sick and just like, whoa, I forgot about that instance. And you brought it up, and it's like, whoa, aren't our lives pretty wild? Like this is cool. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Well, see, that was like the crazy part, because everyone at like my day job work kept saying like, oh, what did you do in Chicago? I can't tell them. They wouldn't understand. But like, it is truly like a like when you think about it, being in this community is wild, right? Like what we do, what we wear, what we experience it, how it's changed our lives, how it's changed lives for others. It's just wild. And it's crazy that like you couldn't even begin to explain it to someone that doesn't understand.
No. And it's just, it's, I think that's what makes it so magical for us. We're like, we're just powerful. I don't know. We're living on a different wavelength, I think. It's very special.
I think you said in one of your episodes that ABDL is like punk for the vanilla people, right? It's just like so crazy out there that it's like, unless you get it, it won't make sense to you.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I'm experiencing this, so I would love to pick your brain. How is your kink life different in your 30s versus your 20s? Because my kink life in my 20s is way different than in my 30s.
Oh, I would love to hear you answer that question, too. I think it's a great question. My kink life in my 30s is so much radder. It's like I have just gained like a lot of insight to make it better. Really good. Like when I was 21, 22 and getting into this, I had fun. I did some fun stuff, but there was no one who like came and set me aside and was like, hey, so Nikki, like, here's like the stoplight system, and here's like how to negotiate before a scene, and here's how to do aftercare, and like, here's like what really good affirmative consent is, like we like hell yeses and not anything other than that. I've been thinking about this a lot, you know, my early 20s. It's like fun was had, but it the way I would word it is this kind of, we behaved like we were all vanilla, and what I mean by that is like there's a lot of nonverbal advancing and this and that, like you would do in a vanilla setting, and then like, oh, do you want to come over tonight? And then, you know, one thing leads to another. It's like in kink, it just sets us up way better to just be like, hey, how would you feel if I sat on your face? No? Okay, great. No problem. I'm not hurt. Oh, yes? Great. Let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, right. Just these tools. And I wish I, you know, had that. I wish I had that experience then. And I don't know, the relationships, I'm also non-monogamous now. And just the way that I'm navigating that and nurturing my relationships and friendships is sick. And I don't know, I can't say enough good things about my 30s. Also, I'm just a more put together human.
Same, like
I know myself so much better. I know, you know, how to navigate my desires and how to be helpful to people.
I 100% agree. I feel like in my 20s, it was more of, I think you said this recently in an episode, and I kind of related to it. Hopefully I'm not paraphrasing too hard, too out of the box. But I remember you were saying how, like, you treated in the beginning it kind of like a hookup kind of culture kind of way, right? It was very much like, hey, yeah, you want to come over and, like, we'll diaper each other up and then, like, we'll do diaper things, right? But it was all, like, hush, that's, hush, like, under, all, like, under yeah, the blanket kind of thing. And that's how yeah, I treated ABDL. And, like, I think that's one of the reasons why it – to me, that was one of the reasons why I had, like, a lot of shame in the beginning is because I treated it like a hookup. And then, it, of course, if you're a – like me, a gay man that lived in a very conservative religious house, gay sex was already taboo. So to like add diapers into it, wild, crazy.
Totally.
Surprisingly, I didn't need more therapy back in the day. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, but then you start meeting people. And that's why I think it's so important and why it's so important to have like podcasters like you and like all the other podcasters to divulge these stories of just like, you're not alone. This thing that you're doing in your 20s, this thing that you're doing in your 30s, yeah, it's fun. Go have fun and learn the rules along the way. Mm-hmm. Break the rules. Like mm-hmm, I mean, don't break them too bad. Mm-hmm. But
learn.
Like, you know,
just
learn.
Like, yeah.
Right, learn. Exactly. There's that's what that makes it so fun is like you get to learn. And then for me in my 30s, I, like you just said, you know more about yourself. And so the learning becomes a little more fun because now you know – mm-hmm, you know how to drive the boat. You know how to drive the ship. You are the ship and you know how to drive it. Where in your 20s, you're like, I'm scared to drive.
Totally. Totally. There are some 20-year-olds that come across in our community that I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I'm so impressed by you. Like the things you know at your age, like high five, like you're killing it. Like, I'm so stoked. I'm like, that was not me. I was like, I was, you know, hooking up and just like, you know, if I could go back, I would just say exactly what I want. You know, hey, like, would you be a play partner? No? Okay. I can take no for an answer. Or like, you know, just negotiating, navigating, and just like realizing this is about fun. And yeah. Yeah. It's, try to be safe, but have some fun.
As you were saying that, I immediately thought of how maybe, I don't, did you go to Catholic school when you were younger?
Christian school.
You went to Christian school? So I went to Catholic school, middle and like middle, elementary, middle, and high school. And our version of sex ed was if you masturbate, you're gonna go to hell. Like that. Oh, no joke. Like that's what it was. And when I think about it, I'm like, no wonder I had a horrible sex life when I was younger because I didn't understand any of it. But now, like, now when I see these younger ABDLs and like getting into the community, they understand it like a little bit better. Is it still shaky? Yeah, but they're young. Yeah. But like they understand it a little bit better. I mean, like everything from the content they're dishing out, everything from like when they do scenes. Yeah, there's still some questions there, but they're having so much fun. And I feel like they understand it a little bit better, way mm-hmm, better than when I understood it when I first started.
Yeah. I mean, when you get the shame just like pounded into you, it's just, it sucks. It really sucks. And I think that is, it's good, from what I can tell with the younger people in our community, that maybe there's less of a just a shame cloud being flung on them.
Right. Let me ask you, let's go back to your podcast for a second. So since starting it, what is one thing that has surprised you? Like for me, the one thing that has surprised me is just people message me saying like, oh, since listening to your podcast, I've now told my therapist about my ABDL side. Like, right, like,
oh my gosh,
things I've never even thought of while I'm creating it. Mm-hmm. What is one thing that someone has told you since starting yes, your podcast that you're like, that's wild and like that makes me feel so fun?
That's so rad. I'm so glad you answered that because I wanted to know what your answer was going to be. My answer is very similar. I started this, like I said a minute ago, just to share conversations because they're rad. And I get messages in my DMs of never could have planned this. Folks who are like, I shared your podcast to my vanilla partner, and they have a much better understanding of it, and it's been super helpful. Like, what? I could have, like, I did not set out to do that. You know what I mean? They're just like, yeah, they didn't know anything about this kink, and we listened to your podcast together, and it's been super helpful. And I think that's like better than anything I could have like tried to achieve. I think it's just like we're humanizing. We're like, yeah, we're humans. Like, we're just like, so we like to wear
Do
diapers.
right, exactly. We're doing it.
We're doing it. And it's cool to help people unlock that, And yeah, I couldn't have planned that, but that's probably it.
I love those stories. I love the stories of, or have you also gotten the ones where it's I've never tried this. Or the ones that I really love are like, I've never considered this. But because of your podcast, I now have a new perspective on it. Like, I love those stories too. Not only the stories of like, oh, I told my partner, but also like the internal ones where people are like, wow, like I never really knew how to process the ABDL experience, but like you make it so easy to process it. And I always think those are kind of cool too, where you're able to help someone on an individual level, as simple as just like processing this kink.
That's the best. Yeah, that's it doesn't get better. That's like the coolest. Yeah, we're all just sharing and what needs to come to us, I think comes to us. I don't know, It's like
Yeah.
it's rad.
All right. Where do you see your podcast going? Right? You've had it for a couple episodes now.
Yeah.
Where do you see it going in the future?
That's a good question. I'm still figuring it out. It's a very baby podcast. It's still new. I'm still new at flying the ship, so to speak. My only means of getting it out there is my private Instagram. I've done no marketing. So that is kind of a question mark for me. I've just believed that it's going to find the right people. I would like it to be just like a source of joy and to come as naturally to me as having any other conversation. And yeah, I would like it to grow in listeners, but I don't know. I'm the kind of person who sets out to do something and figures it out along the way.
100%,
I don't know if
100%.
you can relate to that, but yeah, I do hope it gets a big listener base. And I hope that, as it grows and like with all these other podcasts, I hope that there's a rising tide that like ri rises all ships. That's kind of what I hope.
Oh, like all the ABDL podcasts will just like rise together. I like that.
I hope there's a rising tide and it raises us all up, That's kind of what I'm thinking. Whether we like think about it or not, like we're doing this because it's a passion, but it's a resource to people. And
100%.
that's special. So.
And people, I think what I love is one of the things that I thought was kind of cute during CapCon is people would always say, like, would you ever talk about this? Would you ever talk about this? Would you ever talk about this? Honey, I don't plan any of this. I'm an open book, right? Like, come to me. Let's have a conversation. Let's do it. Like, exactly what I did with you. I was like, hey, oh, that you have a pocket? Great. You want to come? Wonderful. Meet me at this time, right? Like, I don't plan it. But one of the things that I think is so cool is so many people have, like, now that we have these ABDL podcasts, I feel like people are starting to like have their own little ideas of like, ooh, I want this, I want this, and I want this. And now we live in an age where we can do that, right? Like 10 years ago, I wouldn't even know how to start a podcast 10 years ago. Now I feel like it's so easy that you like anyone could start it. And I think that's so cool that like now that we have these ABDL podcasts coming out, we have little niches that we all like help people with, and that people can do their own if they have if they're so passionate about it, they can now do their own.
Totally. I mean, like necessity breeds innovation, or so they say, you know, like, hey, have you thought about talking about this on your podcast? Hey, maybe you should come over here with me and do a podcast and sit in front of this microphone and we'll talk about it. It's like, it's so funny how those things like find you. It's like, you're a magnet and it's like, boom, let's do it. And, I think that like with the podcasts that are out there, yours, Love and Brief, The Usual Bet, mm-hmm. and there's more, it's cool that there's like little corners of our community that are all like getting represented. And that just like makes me super, super happy, you know?
Right. Well, I was just about to ask you. So I don't see this as a negative thing, and hopefully people don't take this as a negative thing, but I feel like each ABDL podcast that is out right now serves a different sect within the overall ABDL umbrella, right? We have
absolutely
Love and Brief, which is very kind of like,
it's an advice podcast.
It's an advice podcast. You have Usual Bet, which I think is like a very like talk show kind of like having totally. Fun podcast. We have yours, which is like fun stories, but like for like, I feel like you, I'll put it this way, I take all the gay male cis male kiddos over here, like I'm the gay club over here. Podcast Newsy Snook is the gay club.
It's
ABDL.
So rad. I
and
love
then
it.
Like you have the other, so I feel like we all have our little sects. Which sect mm-hmm. do you feel like your podcast really fuels?
Totally. And I you know, when you preface that question, I see it as a positive. I hope everyone does, you know, like we're all one big happy family. Of course, we have like, there's lots of corners, I suppose, of this community. But, you know, for me, you know, I think my podcast is just kind of it's individual focused. So I listen to a podcast that's about skateboarding. And in these podcasts, they end up talking their like whole life story. They start uh-huh. at the beginning and they just like go. And so I definitely take pages out of that book. I am like, so where did it all begin? You know, and whatever you're comfortable sharing, share that. Like, don't feel anything you're not comfortable with. And so I'm sure as time goes on, like there will be revelations and I'll turn corners and figure stuff out. But yeah, you know, I love all parts of this community, and I'm really thrilled that like different pieces of it have like special content and like special people like you.
Is there one guest that you have your eye on that you're like, I want that person. I want that person on my podcast so badly. I'll make a deal with the devil to have them on.
That's such a good question.
Do you have anyone in mind?
Name. I have many.
Yeah.
In fact, I need to start making a list and just like headhunting and going for it. You're
Do
on that
it.
List. I would love to have Aww. You on my podcast.
Let's
yep,
go.
I'm not just saying that. I mean it. There are so many people in this community that are so special and cool. And some of them are very comfortable doing podcasts like this. And some of them, I wonder if they've ever been on one and how they would even feel about doing it. But it would be cool to have Mako. I guess off the top of my head, Mako, he had that podcast that I still haven't gotten to listen to because it's not like anywhere, but it was like maybe the first ABDL podcast.
Oh yeah, Mako, he made the age play. Yes, no, I will give you his contact. He's
yeah, you had him on, right?
Yes.
I listened to that episode and it was incredible.
So wonderful. No, you should definitely have him on.
Yeah, and yeah, I need to make a list because there's a bunch of people.
Little wish list, little poster yeah. on your Instagram. That's the other fun thing, right? Like, I feel like other than my little previews, I don't market it very much. But you're right. Like, people find it because people want to hear other people's stories. Like, that's like the plain and simple of it. And I think mm-hmm. that's what make, and maybe you can attest to this, that's what makes it fun. We're not out here like searching for like the Johnny Depps and like of the celebrities of the community. Mm-hmm. No, like I could care less. I just want to hear your story.
Right. It's interesting because like we have people who are air quotes high profile, like in this community, you know, it's so funny. We're all diaper lovers. And there's like different people who have like, that's like a diaper influencer or whatever, which cracks me up. But like everyone's story is just as like valuable as the next person. Doesn't matter if you're popular. And it's nothing wrong with being popular if you're a popular person. But like all of our stories and experiences bring like so much value, you know?
Out of the episodes you have done, if someone, let's say someone listening to Newsies Nook right now, wanted to deep dive into Cautious Little Heart, is there an episode that you're like, that one? Listen to that one. That's a good introductory one.
Sure. I would say my last episode with Saray, AB Dealer, is a really good one. And the episode with Littlest Kitten, I think it checks the boxes of like what you could expect from this podcast. It's a great conversation. So
make sure to go check them out. All right. Two things before we go that I think we relate to, and that I always find that I always have to say this to guests too. One, I love that you're a stoner baby. I immediately, when I was listening to the AB Dealer episode and you're like, oh yeah, let's take a few puffs, I was like, I love it. I love it already. I'm already hooked. Two, I remember she was saying like, oh, can I cuss? Can I be explicit on this podcast? And you were like, yeah, go for it. How explicit do you want? How explicit would you like your guests to be? Because I feel like we relate on that level. I'm always like, go as hard as you want. Like, I don't care.
I think this is a kink podcast. Let's get kinky.
Go for it.
You know, people shouldn't, if they want to click away, they can click away, you know? It's interesting because my journey from being a little Christian boy to being here and being a hedonist and a kinky bitch, it's so interesting because I'm like, yes, and the other thing. Let it out. Let's talk about it. It's not taboo to me anymore. Right. I'm like, let's go there. And like my friends here from my town, we have that energy and it's just fucking been so good for my life. And so yeah, little things like that. I love that you brought that up. Like that just makes me happy. Just like, yeah, rip that bong on my podcast. And we're leaving that in. I'm not cutting that out. That's perfect. You know? So yeah, the answer is let's get kinky and you know, just kinky and tasteful. I don't know.
Kinky and tasteful. There you go. Right. Yeah. I mean, I have to uphold the NPR of kink. I have to uphold that, at least uphold that end. But I always tell people, I'm like, go as hard as you want. If you want to talk about your messy diaper that you had at CapCon, go for it. If you want to talk about your crazy full diaper in your face at CapCon, go for it. I don't care. Do it. Whatever makes your little heart happy.
I was just listening to your last episode that you did Rogue at Cap, and I think that's like the most punk rock shit ever. I didn't know you did that. That's incredible. It was getting pretty explicit, and I was just like, hell yeah.
Go for it. Well, what I thought was really funny is they were taking away the chairs as we were doing the episode, and one of my friends that went, I didn't realize it at the time, but in my head, I'm like, could you imagine going to like a comedy show, and as the comedy show is happening, people are taking away your chairs, and then you have to start sitting on the ground as you're watching this person perform. Like, that's crazy.
So you just shut up and did it. Is that what happened?
Yeah, we just did it. We just found a room. Man. We were like, let's go, let's do this. And then as they were telling us like, oh, you guys have to move to the ground, we were like, all right, everybody just sit on the ground. Let's keep going. We're wearing diapers. What more, like what more bizarre thing could we do? Oh,
that's so good. I love it.
Would you ever do a Rogue podcast at CapCon?
Absolutely. I'm in. Yes. You're done?
Yeah, do it.
Totally. Ooh, totally.
You should do it in the playroom. I feel like yours would be really good in the playroom a little bit.
Okay. The downstairs one where we met?
Yeah.
Did that one? Or the one with the jungle gym?
Ooh, you know what? That would be kind of fun next year. Just you and us in the jungle gym. Will be like both in the jungle gym. People like come up before they go on the slide. It's like, give us one thing for the podcast. Okay, great. Goodbye.
Do you like bottom tapes or top tapes? Are you plastic backed or cloth backed? Just like, I don't know. I thought about doing that at Cap, but I didn't.
Aw, you have to next year.
Yeah. There will be many, many more times.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, Nikki, for coming to Newsies Nook and talking about Cautious Little Heart and letting me get to know you a little bit more.
It's been great getting to know you. This is super fun. I live for this. Thank you for having me on. It's been a blast.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you haven't checked out Cautious Little Heart, I will have a link in the show notes. All right, kiddos, this episode was brought to you by My ABDL Supplies, the Sydney-based age play company giving Newsy Nook listeners 5% off your next order when you use promo code NewsyBaby. Check out My ABDL Supplies, your one-stop ABDL shop. All right, kiddos, I can't close my legs. I gotta go change. See ya. Bye.